Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, Chrystia Freeland rejects an idea from Jean Chrétien that Canada stop the extradition proceedings against Meng Wanzhou.
It would be a very dangerous precedent indeed for Canada to alter its behavior when it comes to honoring an extradition treaty in response to external pressure.
The federal government will impose carbon pricing on Alberta in January.
It's unfortunate because Alberta had and made an Alberta plan to put a price on pollution, and we clearly need Alberta to be part of our national climate plan as Alberta has the highest emissions in the country.
And Justin Trudeau gets ready for his trip to Washington.
The future of the so-called NAFTA 2.0 or USMCA or whatever they want to call it, it has to be sorted out because time is running out in Canada and, you know, in the United States, you know, for it to be ratified.
It's Friday, June the 14th. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald, Dan Legere. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Mark.
So Chrystia Freeland, the foreign affairs minister, is rejecting the idea that Jean Chrétien advanced of forestalling, basically, the extradition of Meng Wanzhou. He's also offered to go to China. It's interesting how much Chrétien's name has come up recently with regard to this dispute with China, but I'm not sure what the strategy is. There's also news that some of the prime minister's overtures to meet with the Chinese leadership were rejected by that government. So I'm not sure what the next step is here.
Yeah, there is no avenue for Canada to resolve this issue, this extradition issue with Meng Wanzhou and the diplomatic freeze that has come down over Canada-Chinese relations. There's no avenue out of this at the moment. I can't see it. I mean, we don't have the support of our allies. Canada detained Meng Wanzhou because the U.S. wanted us to do it, and now the U.S. isn't doing anything about actually extraditing her, and is just leaving Canada to swing in the wind while it deals with other issues. And in fact, it's even worse than that because President Trump has implied that, you know, she's being held hostage while the Chinese and the U.S. argue over trade. So this is just, there's no positive way through this. I can't see it. Canada's international allies are not really speaking up for Canada. So we're stuck with a person we don't want and we have really zero interest in other than maintaining some sort of amicable relations with the U.S. And yet Freeland is right. You can't just release people or you're going to have Canadians and others being picked up on the streets all over the world and held hostage by whatever tin pot dictator wants to make yards with Canada. So this is a terrible diplomatic mess. And it can't be resolved until something happens on the actual extradition case itself. And even then, the Chinese won't be happy. Yeah. They're the superpower now, and they're going to exert that every chance they get.
All right, we'll see what happens there. Let's turn to carbon pricing. Yesterday, the federal environment minister, Catherine McKenna, announced that as of January 1st of next year, Alberta will be subject to the federal carbon price. Meanwhile, the parliamentary budget officer weighed in yesterday saying that the cost of the carbon tax is going to have to go up in the years ahead. So this is really shaping up to be a dominant issue this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's interesting. I've been covering federal elections since the late 1970s, and we always kept writing stories saying, oh, well, the environment's going to be a huge issue this election, and it never, ever is. Except for this election coming, where, you know, seen through the prism of this so-called carbon tax, the environment will be a major issue and perhaps a ballot question, in fact. So, and the Liberals have failed utterly in explaining to people the rebate side of the tax and rebate plan, which is actually at the root of their entire carbon pricing scheme, that, you know, people will get money back. And somehow they keep going around getting in these little daily tiffs with the Conservatives who have no plan and have made no, you know, real alternative for anyone to seize on. And yet are failing to remind people they're going to get most, if not all, and maybe even more back In the rebate than they pay in the pricing. So, you know, this the announcing the date to impose it on Alberta is an inexorable part of the federal plan, and it's absolutely expected that it's going to be fought every step of the way. But I do believe it's going to be a huge issue in the election, and at some point, all parties are going to have to say what they're going to do about reducing carbon in the atmosphere. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and Andrew Scheer is expected to make his announcement about that next week, so we'll be watching that, obviously. But what about the news from the Parliamentary Budget Officer that the price on carbon is going to have to be a lot higher? Because that's where, is it price sensitive in the eyes of Canadians? Is there a point at which, no matter how much they support the environmental objective, that it gets too expensive?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, you know, an economist would have to really sit there and break that down, what the so-called price elasticity is of the environment, you know, what value we place on doing our part to stop or at least slow down climate change. You know, we're back almost where we were years ago on this mark, where we're arguing, is climate change even a real thing, or should Canada do anything, or isn't it always other countries that are causing all the problem, and we're only a small percent. I mean, we're still arguing about exactly the same things we were 4 or 5 years ago. The Liberals brought the whole thing to the fore and put a number on it, and now the PBO report puts a more specific, longer-term number on it as well. But, you know, we're really still at the point where we're arguing over the principle of whether we should do anything or not. And, you know, all the parties except the Conservatives think we should do something. So this is the choice that's being left. And I don't know if just being against this one carbon measure is enough to get Andrew Scheer into 24 Sussex. But it's certainly, you know, where they've chosen to fight. So I'll be keen to see what they have to say about it next week, because they do have to have something. I think people are expecting that.
Yeah. All right. Also next week, we're expecting that Prime Minister Trudeau will go to Washington to meet with U.S. President Donald Trump. What do you think will be the top priority there? Is it trade? Is it Meng Wanzhou and China? Or is it something else?
Well, it has to be trade. You know, it 100% has to be trade. I mean, the future of the so-called NAFTA 2.0 or USMCA or whatever they want to call it has to be sorted out, because time is running out in Canada and, you know, in the United States, you know, for it to be ratified by the legislatures. So, you know, this is where so much of the country's economy depends, is on the Americans, not on the Chinese. I mean, we can have a diplomatic squabble with the Chinese that can go on 10 years, and there will be individuals hurt, but the overall impact on the nation will be slight. But we have to get things sorted on trade, on continental trade, because there's just billions and billions of dollars and millions of jobs at stake.
All right, let's turn to an interesting story involving former Conservative leader Rona Ambrose, who, of course, before she left, was advocating a private member's bill she introduced that would have required future judges to undergo training about sexual assault issues, about victims and how they are impacted by the justice process, about things like memory and trauma and those sorts of things. And that bill now appears to be being held up by the Conservatives in a squabble over another bill. And she expressed disappointment in her former colleagues yesterday. It's an interesting development.
Yes, and you know, Rona Ambrose has always been a good soldier for the Conservatives during her time in the Harper cabinet. She was I recall she initially stumbled a little bit when she first got into office, because she had the impossible job of being the environment minister in an anti-environment government. But she, I think, over the years really showed her stuff and became a very respected and sensible member of the Conservative caucus. And you recall acting as interim leader. So, you know, to have her come out and criticize her own team, her old party, it is unusual. But I think it's something she feels very strongly about. And we've had repeated cases in Canada where judges are, you know, blaming victims and or disbelieving them, or you know, benefit of the doubt going often to people who have assaulted women and girls, and you know, not enough is done, and partly because these judges, I don't think, really understood the whole focus. And this is where Ambrose's bill came from and her thinking on it, which she's become rightly quite famous for. So she's campaigning to get this done. She's a respected person, and, you know, perhaps the Conservatives will listen to her, especially given the fact that it does look like it's some kind of a partisan tit-for-tat thing that they're doing there, simply to foil the Liberals on a whole unrelated matter. So, you know, this is where politics should be able occasionally to rise above the partisan fray and do something that's actually right for the country.
All right, good stuff. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, okay, Mark, see ya.
That's Dan Legere, author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald.
This is a real plan that will fight climate change and reduce global emissions without a carbon tax.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the National Post, John Iveson argues Andrew Scheer has to offer a credible climate plan. Iveson writes, the Conservatives have been raising expectations over the climate change plan that Andrew Scheer will unveil next week. In a short video, he promises a real plan to protect our environment, fight climate change, and reduce global emissions. Scheer has avoided criticism thus far by saying little of substance and doing less. But that ends next week in an election where affordability and climate change are set to be top of mind for voters. He has to offer a plan that straddles both concerns. At ctvnews.ca, Don Martin argues if Scheer wants to be prime minister, he needs a credible climate plan. Martin writes, the secret for any successful politician is to sense which way the public opinion parade is going and jump in front of it. And polls already show a party's environmental plan, or lack of one, will sway votes. Failure to deliver on this tall order will ensure Andrew Scheer falls short of his prime ministerial ambitions. In an editorial, the Globe and Mail argues the federal government is not out to kill pipelines with Bill C-69. The Globe writes, the latest and gravest threat to pipelines in the minds of the oil industry and conservative premiers is Bill C-69. The bill is in its final stages, and if passed, critics claim it will ensure no pipeline is ever built in Canada again. The Liberals have shown a willingness to improve the bill. It remains imperfect, but it is not the death blow predicted by pipeline advocates. And at Policy Options, Jennifer Ditchburn asks if a networked extreme right will be our biggest electoral threat. Ditchburn writes, international researchers have been sounding the alarm that the extreme right is using increasingly sophisticated online strategies to bring fringe ideologies into the mainstream. The challenge in dealing with this is that it's much easier for governments to get public support for combating foreign baddies. It's much more difficult to figure out what to do about citizens working double time to destabilize democracy. Now, here's what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. In Whitby, Ontario, the Prime Minister will plant a tree for the Highway of Heroes tree campaign. He will also attend a reception in honour of Italian Heritage Month in Vaughan, Ontario. Finance Minister Bill Morneau will be in Toronto to discuss findings from the final report from Canada's expert panel on sustainable finance. In Laval, Quebec, Defence Minister Harjit Sajjan will announce the completion of an initiative in Canada's defence policy. Immigration Minister Ahmed Hussein will make an announcement and speak with the media in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Indigenous Services Minister Seamus O'Regan will make an announcement at King's Clear First Nation in New Brunswick. Minister of National Revenue Diane Leboutillier will attend an infrastructure event in Corridor, Quebec. Transport Minister Marc Arnault will make an announcement in Salaberry de Valleyfield, Quebec. In Vancouver, Science Minister Kirsty Duncan will visit the University of British Columbia to mark the government's latest investment in researchers and students. Later, she will make an announcement in Victoria. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will visit a public school in Brampton, Ontario, followed by an announcement on federal support for cybersecurity training. Minister of Seniors Philomena Tassi will make a funding announcement for Hamilton International Airport. International Trade Diversification Minister Jim Carr will make an announcement at the Skilled Trades and Technology Center at Red River College's Notre Dame campus in Winnipeg. Treasury Board President Joyce Murray will make an announcement at the British Columbia Institute of Technology in Burnaby, BC. In Ottawa, Green Party leader Elizabeth May will hold a news conference ahead of next Tuesday's release of the government's decision on the Trans Mountain Pipeline. And Governor General Julie Payette will host the presentation ceremony of the Michener Award for Meritorious Public Service in Journalism and the Michener Deacon Fellowships for Investigative Journalism. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Friday, June the 14th. Tune in to Primetime Politics Weekend on CPAC for coverage of all the week's events. Our podcast returns Monday morning. Have a great weekend.